نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي انقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فان مع العسر يسرا ان مع العسر يسرا فاذا فرغت فانصب والى ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم. First thing that should be noted is that according to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, this Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Inshirah are one surah. They are not two surahs. He used to recite both these surahs in one rak'ah of the prayer without in between reciting Ayah Bismillah. But they are two surahs. There is no doubt. Consensus of all the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that they are different surahs. And I suppose that to make them a pair, so that you know that thing is fulfilled, that the surahs of Quran are mostly in pairs, so it has been divided. Otherwise, the style is the same. Alam yajidka yatiman faawa, wa wajadaka dhallan fahada, wa wajadaka ayl, alam nashrah laka sadrak, wa wada'na anka wizrak. Allazi anqada zahrak. The same style. The same, you know, conversation, you may say, or communication between Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a very, very, very personal level. Secretly. And what I said before about Surah Al-Duha, it's more important regarding Surah Al-Inshirah, that this surah could not be understood except by those mufassireen. They are the interpreters and exegetes, but they have a mystic orientation, spiritual and mystic. Because Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, have we not expanded or opened up for you your chest? Wawana Anka Vizrak, and we remove from you that heavy burden. Allazi Anqadha Dharak, which was nearly breaking your back. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we have exalted for you your renown and fame. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So, always, along with hardship is ease. And again, surely, along with hardship is ease. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So, when you have accomplished your task, the mission assigned to you, fansab, then exert yourself fully. Wa ila rabbika farghab, and let your towards your Lord be your entire quest. Now this is known that this is from among the very early Makki surahs. And the conditions for the Prophet and the companions of the Prophet were very hard. They had to struggle hard at that time. Where was the ease? Had this surah been revealed in Medina, it would have meant something else. Those hard times are gone. Now, the things are very easy for you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But no, very early Makkan surahs. So what does it mean? What was ease to him? What was the meaning of the expanding of his chest? What was the meaning that he was relieved of the burden that was nearly going to break his back? Now let me quote here. But I am giving you, that is from Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Rahmatullahi Alayh, one of the mystic mufassireen of Indian subcontinent of the last century. He says, actually, for a prophet or a saint, the most lovable thing is that he should keep solely, exclusively attentive to his Lord. Why to discharge the duties as a messenger? You have to go out. You have to talk to the people. You want to keep yourself engaged in meditation with your Lord. Go on in your lonely place, praying to Him, talking to Him, conversing with Him. Let your soul have a direct communication with your Lord. This is the most enjoyable thing that a human being can ever imagine. But now, the command is go. Izab ila Fir'auna innahu taga. Go to Fir'aun. He has transgressed. Now you have to face. But the biggest pain that he is having is that that condition which he had when he was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Mount of Tur, how pleasant it was. So Allama Iqbal has quoted Shaykh Abdul Qaddus of Gangoh in his lectures. Once he said, Muhammad Arabi Balai Asma Raft to Baz Ahmad. Ba Khuda agar man raftame, Baz Namdame. Muhammad of Arabia went to the highest heaven and then came back. By God, if I had reached there, I would never have come back. So this is the difference between the mystic experience and the prophetic experience. A mystic, a Sufi, wants to keep himself with his Lord. No interference. This is the tendency which led to that monasticism. This was an unbalanced attitude that led to monasticism. Why to marry? Have all these, you know, problems. 101 problems for you. If you marry, you have a family. Now you have to feed them, care for them. Now the child is sick, and now you have to get him admitted to the school, and so on and so forth. Now you can't have that, you know, that sukoon, tranquility of your mind. Baithe rahe tasavvur jana kiye hue. Keep sitting and have the thought of Allah in your mind and nothing else. So that was the pain actually which Muhammad was having sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While he was asked to go out, preach to the people. We are looking only to the outside pain that he was getting when some said, oh, you have gone crazy. Oh, you are a poet. Oh, you are a sorcerer or a magician. This was also hurting him. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. But that is not mentioned here. That, you know, his difficulties were going to more and more multiply in the coming years. But أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. That was painful to him was his occupation with this propagation of religion. And not keeping himself alone in the loneliness. Plotinus has said very beautiful verse. Flight of the alone to the alone. Within us we have something which is alone, and that is our Ruh. Ruh is not son of someone and daughter of someone and brother of someone. Ruh has no connection with anybody here in this world. It's all alone. Whatever it is by itself. So when one is sitting and contemplating and meditating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the flight of the alone. The Ruh within me and you now comes out, goes up, 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 up. Flight of the alone to the alone. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. He is the alone. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. But as time progressed, Muhammad came to know how much it is delightful for you when even a single person accepts Islam and you feel, now this brother of mine is saved from the fire of hell. This is another delight. This delight now takes the place of that delight. The Sufia used three terms for suluk. There is sair ilallah. One is going nearer, nearer, nearer to Allah. Then sair filla. Now contemplating and meditating the person or the attributes of Allah. This is that position from which if you are asked to go away, then you feel pain, you feel hurt. But the third stage is sair anillah ilallah. Now you are going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to go down the Mount of Noor, where Muhammad received his first revelation in the cave of Hira, Jabal al-Nur. And Musa had to come down from Koh-e-Tur, the Mount of Tur. Izhab ila Fir'aun innahu tagha. But then sair anillah ilallah. But this is for Allah. So that more and more of his creatures, they are saved from the fire of hell. They turn towards Allah. This is the biggest delight. Biggest delight. Biggest delight. But you come to it, to realize it. But you have to take some time for that. This yusra has now come to you. But you had to pass that through that usr, that difficulty. You had to cross that. But now you feel. The Prophet said to Ali, Ya Ali, لَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعْمِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes even a single human being towards the right path because of you, it is much more precious than so many red camels. That was the biggest, you know, wealth for the Arabs. رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا. Guidance will be given by Allah, but you have become instrumental in it. أَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. If Allah guides even one human being through you, through your effort, through your da'wah, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمُ. Red-colored camels, a host of them, this is more precious than that. Now, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. This is for the future. When that time comes, ya al-haqq wa zahaq al-batil, when that time comes, then you'll be free. Then you attach yourself with us absolutely. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And this is, you know, historically speaking, in the seerah, the sermon that Muhammad gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one evening before he died. Came out from his hujra. And you know the salah prayer was in progress. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the prayer. When he felt that the Prophet has come out, he tried to get back so that he comes forward to lead the prayer. But he said, no, you continue. Then he sat by his side. Now, sitting in that sitting posture, he was the Imam of Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr was the Imam for the rest of the congregation. That way that prayer was completed. Then he gave the sermon. Allah has given an option to a servant of his. If he likes this world, he can choose it. If he likes the other, he can choose it. And the servant has chosen the other one. Abu Bakr wept. And some of the people said, look to this old man. Why is he weeping? But Abu Bakr had understood that the Prophet has decided to go now. Because to every messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this option. Now from our side, you are free. You have done your duty. If you want to come back, okay. If you want to still stay in the world, okay. We shall grant you further lease. And that is why the last words on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of death, Allahumma fir rafiqil a'la. Now I choose rafiqil a'la, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give up this world. Surah At-Teen, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, At-Teen wa Zaytun wa Tur Sinin wa hadha al-balad al-amin, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين صدق الله العظيم. This surah is also philosophically and psychologically very important surah of the Quran. A sensible and sensitive person who has that moral law within him active, when he sees to the world before him, he's grieved. All human beings lying very low. Nobody having any high ambition of Allah and Akhirah. Everybody running after this world. The pleasures of this temporary world and temporary life. And then all types of mischief. Cheating, lying, defrauding. What is this? Does man have nothing in him except evil? Perhaps man is evil through and through. Nothing high in him. And to this testify all the schools of thought of psychology of today. What are the motives? All are very low, very mean. According to Freud, it's the sex, nothing else. Even the love between mother and our son is sex. Father and daughter is sex. It's all suppressed sex that takes these forms. Somebody is giving a sermon. It is a suppressed sexual desire that he is, you know, fulfilling in this way. Someone is saying the only motive in man is to get domination. That is to dominate. And Marx said, the basic is his financial need. Anyone who says that a man has some high thing in him, on the other hand, Darwinian theory says man is only an animal, slightly refined animal. All these things, you know, have come together to disappoint man from man. There's nothing good in man. In this background, this surah comes up in front. No, no, no. Man was created at a very high level. Very high level. Very high level. Quran says, we ordered all our angels to bow before him. I created this man with my both of my hands. But all this, you know, whatever you see, yes, the complexes, this inferiority complex and superiority complex, this haughtiness, and what is man? Even if apparently he is doing something, actually, the motive behind it, to show off, to dominate, to be more prominent. He's delivering a very good speech, but what for? To be more prominent among the people, so that people should praise him. Oh, he's a very good speaker. Maybe out of this faculty of good speaking, public speaking, he can become a dictator. These are the motives. No high motives visible in this society, number one, or taught in psychology. But Allah says no. Now Allah is presenting four examples. Example of Nuh alayhi salam. Watin, by the fig tree, as well as the Mount Fig, where, you know, this nation of Nuh was inhabited. There were a lot of fig trees. And that mount was called Mount of Fig. Was Zaytun and Olive. And the Mount of Olive. Mount of Olive is still here. Koh-e Zaytun, where Isa alayhi salam used to preach. Batur-e Sinin. And look to this Mount of Sina, where Moses was in conversation with his Lord. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ and before you is this peaceful city of Mecca. You find Muhammad in it. If there was nothing high in human beings, where from have they come up? Are they not the human beings? Was Nuh a mean or base person? Was Isa a mean or base person? Was Musa a mean or base person? Is Muhammad before you, your own eyes, is he a mean or base person? So you must admit that these are oaths. But on what these oaths have been taken? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Verily we created man in the best nature and best mold. Ahsan is the superlative degree. The best. But this denotes to the real man, not the visible man. The visible man is this body. The real man is within it. Man in his ignorance identifies himself with the material sheets which encompass his real self. Really, when I say I denote to myself. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَانْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. That was created at the highest level, higher than the angels. And the highest was the spirit of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. But then we threw it down, lowest than the low, low than the lowest, yeah, lowest than the low, of the low. This regards this our animal existence. It's at a lesser level than the angels. Then at a more lesser level than the jinns. They were created out of fire, we were created out of clay. And that is why Iblis said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. How can I bow before him? Now this is the combination, the two extremes. The highest coming from there and the lowest coming from this clay, joined together, this is man. So now, what's the makhraj? What's the way out? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now he has to climb from this low level to reach to his original stature, original station, original level. He has to work hard. And that is through Iman and Amal Saleh. He has to ascend higher and higher up. And two things. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They are not the lowest of the low. No. They will be highest of the high in the hereafter. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. For them there is going to be a reward which will never come to an end. Unending reward. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. Well, what after this makes you, O man, belie the recompense? There must be recompense. Whosoever is doing this, he is going higher and higher through his iman and amal salih and jihad. This is a jihad to ascend. You have been thrown very low. If somehow you fall into a ditch, you slip from some mountain, you are there in the ditch, then you try, come up. You don't keep lying over there. If you are dead, that's a different story. But if you are still alive, you climb. So here, we were thrown down from that high level. Now we have to climb up. And this climbing is this amal-e-salih, tawasib-il-haq, tawasib-il-sabr, this jihad fi sabilillah. This is actually by which you can regain your original position. So then, whosoever does it, he must be recompensed. Alaysallahu bi-ahkam al-haakimeen. Is not Allah the greatest ruler of all the rulers, or the best judge of all the judges? Bala. He should say, answer, yes, why not? And I add here, Bala, Inna Allah huwa ahkamul hakimin, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. What we want is mercy. Maybe according to the strict judgment, we might not be able to claim salvation. So not only hukum of Allah, but the mercy of Allah. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ I suddenly add this. فَلَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْحَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ I have to take refuge in His mercy. Surah Al-Alaq, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Now this is the first ever wahi that came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was 40 years old, and you know, for some time, his tendency was to keep alone and thinking and thinking and thinking. To be alone in the cave of Hira. And one night, when he was alone there, and please note the words, Banan Nome Wal Yaqza. He was in between sleeping and awakeness. Not fully awake, not fully asleep. The first meeting with Jibreel was in that condition. Banan Nome Wal Yaqza. So Jibreel came, and they say there is one tradition. There was a golden plate on this was written these five ayat. He said, read. He said, I am not a reader. Ma'ana biqari. Because if it was from mouth to mouth only, then this answer is not rational. If you have not learned to read, somebody says, say this, you can say this. So that to me appears to be the correct position. That it was a written tablet of gold. On that these five ayat were written. Then when he said, I am not a reader. Ma'ana biqari. So he took the prophet into his arms, embraced him and squeezed him. So much so that he felt, you know, this effect of squeezing. Then he let him, then again said, read. Again the answer was the same. So he repeated it thrice, embracing him, squeezing him, and then letting him. And then, you know, he read these. So this is the first wahi. Because it was the first experience, a human into direct contact with an angel. This alam-e-bashariya and alam-e-malakiya, first time into direct contact. It had so deep effect on him. He was shivering like anything when he came back to his house. High fever, perspiring. And he said to Hazrat Khadija, Zammeluni, Zammeluni, Khashito ala nafsi. I fear for my life. Now give over me some blanket. Anyhow, this is the first wahi. Iqra. And now here you note, no salah, nothing of the psalm. Read, read. Ilm, the importance of knowledge. The knowledge that came to Muhammad was not through the worldly means of education. Allamahu shadidul quwa. Jibreel was the teacher. He taught him. In some traditions, Israfil remained with him for 3 years, teaching him. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Created man from a blood clot. I've read this from this translation, but I don't agree with this translation now. This clot and blood clot has no connection with this root, ayn, lam, kaf. Alaq. Mu'allaqa. Mu'allaq ho jana. Something hanging. So it has, denotes to that stage of embryonic development when it's like a leech attached to the wall of the womb of the mother. Hanging. Hanging with the, just as a leech attaches itself to your feet or your legs in the same way. So that was the stage, alaqa. Iqra wa rabbukal akram. Read. And your Lord is most bountiful. Alladhi allama bil qalam. Who has taught by the pen. What does it mean? The human knowledge, the acquired human knowledge, has been transmitted from one generation to the other through pen. One generation gathers the knowledge, puts it down into writing, it is transferred to the next generation. This way, this acquired human knowledge, the scientific knowledge, this is going up every day. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. He taught man what he knew not. After these five ayat, now three ayat, which I think I have already explained. A person whose own moral, you know, consciousness is very active and living and vibrating, and when he sees to the people, what they are doing, where are they going, what has happened to them? A thinker, a philosopher. In response to what? Surah At-Teen came. Yes, your observation is correct. They have gone down, very much down, down, down. But they were not created at that level. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ رَضَرْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Here also, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Nay, man surely transgresses the limits. You are doing something wrong to your brother. Treating wrongly your neighbor. Not respecting and serving your parents. You are stealing. You are killing. You are making a nation slave to you. The colonial rule. Verily, the man does transgress. Your observation is not wrong. What you have seen is correct. But what is the reason? Arrahu istaghna. Because man feels and sees himself, he is not questioned, he is not punished, he is not rewarded. I did this thing wrong to him, nothing happened to me. I ate the wealth of the orphan. No cancer to my stomach, not even a blister to my mouth. Nothing has happened. This world is incomplete regarding the moral law. It is complete regarding the physical law. If you take poison, you'll die. This is the physical law. If you put your hand in the fire, it will be burned. This is physical law. But when you tell a lie, no blister on your tongue. If you have usurped the wealth of others, nothing will come to you. So this world where these things are not rewarded, the servants of humanity not rewarded, mostly they were tortured. What happened to the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were they honored? No. So morally speaking, this world is incomplete. It will be complete only in the hereafter, when the moral results will come fully and become manifest. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى رَاهُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَى. Verily, to your Lord is the return. On returning, every human soul will be recompensed fully. And secondly, this is the guidance. If you want to make this society of yours healthy and good and just, tell people that they have to return to their Lord and face the grand accountability of the day of judgment. This is the only remedy. No justice can be established here. No fair deal will ever come here. No just order can ever be established here unless people come to know and believe, and they have conviction that they will be resurrected and they will have to stand before their Lord on the day of judgment. And then they will have to bear the consequences of what they are doing today. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. This is the only remedy. Now in the rest of the ayat of this surah, In the background is the person of Abu Jahl. I told you Abu Jahl was, in a way, not very bad man. Not from amongst the worst people of Mecca. He had some good qualities. When he was asked, do you think that Muhammad is telling lies? He said, no. He never told a lie. Then why don't you accept him? No, there was a competition between us and the Banu Hashim. They entertained people in feasts. They fed the poor people. We did more than them. So the competition was going on this thing. Up till now, we are going shoulder to shoulder with them. They have not been able to outdo us. But now if we accept Muhammad as messenger of Allah, we shall have to accept slavery for all time to come. And this I am not ready to accept. So give the devil his due. He said it plainly. And he was not a miser, as I told you. Amma man bakhila, that was not in him. But istaghna and kazaba bil husna, both were there. But had he accepted Islam, what would he have become? Can you imagine? He would have been the second Umar, radiallahu anhu. The traits of the character of Umar and Abu Jahl were the same. Same courageousness, same straightforwardness. All these things were there, common. And that is why the Prophet had presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala these two persons. Allahumma ansur al-Islam. Oh my Lord, help Islam, strengthen Islam. By the Islam of one of these two people at least. Either Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham, which was the name of Abu Jahl. Equal. Character states the same. But Allah selected Umar, that's why. Well, it was his lot, and he was rejected. Araita allazi yanha, have you considered the person who is forbidding Abdan Iza Salla, a servant of ours when he is praying? There are two incidents, you know, quoted that when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was praying in the courtyard of Kaaba. So once Abu Jahl came and he took a piece of cloth, made a rope out of it, and then strangled it round the neck, and you know, then pulled the two ends so that his eyes were coming out. And second time, when he was prostrating, he said to those people who were sitting beside him, can anybody go and bring that, you know, the intestines, etc., and stomach of the camel which has been sacrificed over there? And then when Muhammad goes in sajda, in prostration, put it on his neck and head. Twice he did it. Araita allazi yanha abdan iza salla. Araita in kana lal huda. Can you imagine if he had been on the guidance? Aw amara bit taqwa. Or he would have been enjoining other peoples to have fear of God. How good it would have been. But he has adopted the other career. Araita in kazzaba wa tawalla. Have you considered? If he has belied and turned his back, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara? Doesn't he know that Allah is seeing him? And note it. He always called upon Allah. Never la tuzza, etc., etc. On the night before Badr, he called upon Allah. Allahumma. Aqtauna lirraham, fa'inul ghadat. Whosoever has cut our relations, divided our tribe, you humiliate him tomorrow. Allahumma. Not Hubal, not Uzza, not Lat, not Manat, nothing of the sort. But he charged Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His charge was, he has divided the house of Quraysh. A house divided in itself cannot stand. We had this position, and we still have that position in the whole of Arabia. But if we are divided, father separated from the son and son separated from the father, and wife separated from the husband and husband separated from the wife, this is what he has done to us. So, but he called upon Allah only. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Kalla la illam yantahi lanasfa'an bi nasiya. Nay, if he desists not, if he doesn't give up this attitude of his, we shall seize him by the forelock. Nasiyatin kazibatin khatiya. Here is the wrath of Allah in words. The forelock which is lying and sinful. Falyadun adiyat. Let him call his henchmen, people who keep sitting, you know, in his courtyards, etc. Sanadu zabaniya. We shall call the angels of the hell. Kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib. Nay. But O Muhammad, you don't obey him. You go on prostrating before your Lord and trying to get nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer to him. Because the Prophet has said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فِي السُّجُودِ. The nearest that a servant can go to his Lord is in the position of sajda. This is Ayatul Sajda. Suratul Qadr, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العظيم. Surely we sent it down in the night of decree. And what will make you realize what is this night of decree? The night when the decrees, divine decrees are issued. Divine commands for the coming year. Actually, this is the budget session, annual budget session of this universe. This is the divine government of this world. And this is the night of budget. What is going to happen in this year? Who will die? Who will be born? And all the commands then are handed over to the angels. These are the Farameen. Now go and implement them. Because we have in Surah Ad-Dukhan, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنزِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. During this night, all the solid decrees are issued. Yufraqo, issued. Amra min indina. As a command from us. Inna kunna mursaleen. Verily, we have been the senders of all these commands. So this is the night. And Quran was also sent down in this night. And they had two meanings of this. That the whole of Quran from Lahi Mahfuz, from the Kitabim Maknoon, from the Ummil Kitab that was sent down to the nearest heaven, Samaad Dunya. From there, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, bit by bit, portion by portion, he brought it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second meaning is that the first wahi that we have just read was revealed during that Laylatul Qadr. This Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Laylatul Qadr khairu min alfi shahr. This is better than 1,000 months. What does it mean? If you are vigilant in this light and praying, and an actual and real connection is established between you and your Lord, the reward that you get, that will be more than the reward of worshipping Allah for 1,000 months, minus these nights. Otherwise, in 1,000 months, so many years will come, and they will include the night of Qadr also. So this is only to give you an idea how sacred, how important. That is why the hadith of from Sahih Bukhari, Man sama Ramadana imanam wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambi. Whosoever kept fasting during the month of Ramadan with belief, faith, and hoping to get the reward from Allah, all his previous sins will be expunged. Man qama Ramadana imanam wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambi. Wa man qama laylatal qadri imanam wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambi. So even this keeping vigilant and standing during the night of Laylatul Qadr, you know, this is also so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the former sins. And here now we find, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. In Surah Al-Dukhan, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. All the important matters, they are decided and issued as decrees, ordinances from our presence. And here, the angels and the spirit, that is Ruhul Quds, descend therein by the leave of their Lord for every affair. Salam. It is peace. Hatta, hiya hatta matla'il fajr. And it is till the appearance of the dawn. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Al-Bayyinah. Lam yakun alladhina kafaru min ahli al-kitabi wal mushrikeena munfakkeena hatta taatiyahum al-bayyinah. The style of this surah very much resembles the style of the Madani surahs, but it is Makki. You know, in Surah Al-Alaq, we found the first revelation which came. In Surah Al-Qadr, we found when it was sent. And now here, why it was sent. The purpose. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Those who disbelieve from among the people of the book and the associators who have assigned partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُنْفَكِّينَ. Those who deviated from the right path could not leave their false beliefs or wrong paths unless there came, hatta tatiyahum al-bayyana, unless there came to them a clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had gone astray, very far off. The mushrikeen, as well as the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab. Now for them, no ordinary person could be of use. Bayyana was required. A very clear proof. Shining, glittering. And what is that clear, shining, glittering proof? Rasulum min Allah yatlu suhufam mutahharatan. A messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reciting purified writs and pages or leaves. Now these two things go to make bayyana. Not only Quran. Before Quran, Rasul. It's the book. It has to be taught. وَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الزِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Four times. So teacher and the book. Rasulun min Allah. A messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَتْلُو صُحُفَ مُطَهَّرَةً. Who came reciting the purified leaves or pages. فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ. Or in them are the right ordinances, all the laws, do's and don'ts. But the irony of the fate is, وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. Those who were given the book, they did not deviate from that path. But after clear proof had already come to them. There are differences between Jews and Christians, etc. They were not due to any darkness. They had the light with them. But as we have read four times in Quran, Baghiyam Bainahum. The cause was the urge to dominate. Wama Umiru. Now this ayah is very important to give you the essence of deen. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. and they were not commanded except to worship Allah, keeping their obedience exclusively for Him, and be straight and upright, and then establish the Salah and give Zakah. And this is the right and eternal deen. Now, لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, and then establish Salah. First of all, you have to accept Allah as your sovereign, as your Lord, as your master. And you have to accept His obedience, total obedience, keeping your obedience exclusively for Him. Anybody else can be obeyed, but within the limits of his obedience, not outside that. لَا تَعَتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. So first of all, you have to fulfill this condition, and then to be able to continue on this path, you have to establish Salah and pay Zakah. So actually, these are the supports for this Ibadah. This is not the Ibadah. Ibadah is total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have explained these things many a time during my Friday sermons during this month. But now we don't have any time. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. Verily, those who disbelieved from among the people of the book and the associators, فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be in the fire of the hell, abiding therein forever. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Verily, those are the worst of creatures. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. On the contrary, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they are the best of the creatures. Now correlated with Ahsan al-Taqweem and Asfal al-Safileen. The former is Ahsan al-Taqweem. The former is Asfal al-Safileen. And the later, Ashraful Makhluqat. Ahsan al-Taqweem. Jazahum inda Rabbihim. Their recompense or reward is with their Lord, in the form of gardens of perpetual bliss, Jannatu Adnin Tajri min Tahtiha al-Anhar, underneath which rivers will be flowing, Khalidina fiha abada, and they will remain and abide there forever, forever. Radiyallahu anhum wa radhu anhu. Allah will be well pleased with them, and they will be pleased with Allah. Zalika liman khashiya rabbah. This is for those who fear their Lord. Now we have a group of four surahs, the warning surahs. The common, subject is warning of the day of judgment. Most impressive. And this surah, Surah Al-Zilzal, the Prophet has said it is equal to 1,000 ayat. That is nearly 1/6 of the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها. When the earth will be shaken with its utmost shaking, وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها, and the earth will cast forth its burdens, throw out whatever it will have within it. وقال الإنسان ما لها, and then man would say, what's the matter with it? What happened to this earth? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. To add to their surprise, on that day, this earth will relate its tidings, its news, its records, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because your Lord shall have commanded it to do that. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَسْتُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتَ. On that day, people will be divided. لَيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ, so that they are shown their deeds. Ashtata, this is the same word which we have read in Surah Al-Layl. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. The result of your endeavors is going to be different. In the same way here. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. So whosoever will have done even a particle's weight of good, he shall see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whosoever would have done even a particle weight of bad deeds, he will see it. Everything will be before us. Al-Adiyat, and this is the last and the final and the fifth surah of this style. وَصَافَاتِ صَفًّا وَزَارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا and this, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا. And this is, there is the consensus that these ayat denote, this only one oath. Ayat are five, but the oath is one. And it relates to the horses. The Arabs use these horses for their internal warfare, especially when they had to go and attack some tribe during the night or the small hours of the morning and plundering and looting and then running back. So they needed swift, you know, some camel who can move them. So what these horses were doing for them? They had no enmity with anybody. But only due to the command of their masters, they were taking all these hardships on them. Even when there was fighting, some arrow could have come and pierced the neck of the horse, and the horse is dead. For whom he is fighting? It's none of his business, it's none of his war. But he is faithful, faithful to his master. The master only looks after him, feeds the horse, looks after him. Only that much. Now the man should look. Is he also faithful to his Lord? Who created him? Who is giving him every need? Fulfilling all the need? But are we faithful? No. So this is a reference. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ دَبْحًا by the charging horses, steeds, who run, snorting and panting for breath. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا then they strike sparks of fire with their hooves. When they run, you know, the iron attached to their hooves, and it glides with the pebbles and stones, the spark. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحًا and then they raise dread. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحًا raiding at the dawn. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحًا فَأَصَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعًا and when they run, they raise a cloud of dust. Now this is the picture of the horses. فَأَصَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا and then they penetrate into the thickest part of the host of the enemy, taking the worst risk. Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud. Look to this horse and look to yourself. Verily, man is ungrateful to his Lord. Wa innahu ala zalika la shaheed. And he himself is a witness to it. Bal al-insanu ala nafsihi basira. Only if he keeps down his heart. Wa innahu li hubbil khair la shadeed. And he is vehemently in love for the wealth of this world. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْسِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ does he not know? When the graves will be overturned and excavated out whatever will be in them. وَحُسِّرَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ and that which is in the hearts will be brought out and made manifest. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِلَّ خَبِيرٌ verily your Lord on that day is well aware of them. This is a big threat. Allah knows everything that you did. So we should say, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. O Allah, from us, you take the reckoning with ease. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa zikil hakeem.